Hey, y'all, welcome to another edition of the Nolcast Instant Reaction Podcast post-game show. This is your host, Bud Elliott. And as always, the Instant Reaction is brought to you by Madison Social, as well as Louisiana Hot Sauce. We do not edit the Instant Reaction because we wanted to get it up to you as quickly as possible following the game. So just know that. If I mess up, I'll probably just talk over myself and correct myself. Let's get into this. Florida State gets its first home win. That's always good to see. 27-24 over the Syracuse Orange. And, it kind of went about like you thought it would, to be honest. In the preview show, and I'm sure we'll dub in some clips here on the Monday show, we said, hey, Florida State will probably hit a big post shot because Syracuse plays cover four a lot, and they got a split safety coverage. And indeed, it was a 51-yard touchdown to Nooney Murray to start the scoring off. So that was good to see, and certainly a good call by Ingram and I. A lot of people on Twitter noticed that. And then, Cam Akers really puts the offense on his back. Two long runs, like a 50-something yarder and a 63-yarder. 199 yards on the day, rushing on 22 carries. That's an average of 9 yards a pop. Always good to see, as well as three catches for 18 yards. The Noles, 6.1 yards a play. And some people are going to say, Bud, they had 343 yards on the day, which is not very many, on 56 plays. That's a decent average, not very many plays. I mean, Syracuse ran 29 more plays, or about 50% more. That's true. I agree with that. However, people will say, well, if you take out the big plays, Florida State's offense was pretty bad, and that's also true. They had 168 yards came on three plays. So if you take 343 and you minus 168, that gives you 175 yards on their other 53 plays. Well, okay. So that means that they had an average of 3.3 yards a play on the plays that were not the big three plays. Their long touchdown throw to Nooney Murray, and then their long two touchdown runs of 54 and 63. That's true, but guess what? That's kind of how you want to play Syracuse, because Syracuse is going to put a bunch of guys up at the line of scrimmage. They're going to try and get tackles for loss, which they got 9 of them, and the trade-off is that they dare you to make big plays, and if you can do it, you'll probably beat them. If you can't, you might lose. It's a very high-variance strategy, and they do it because they want to get the ball back to their offense in a very quick fashion, which is something they do very well, considering their strategy. Florida State did what it needed to do. I think Jimbo Fisher did a lot of things right in this game, and certainly I've criticized him a lot, and I think he deserves it more sometimes. But he didn't allow his true freshman quarterback to have to make too many decisions. Blackman really struggled reading defenses against Boston College. And today, he kind of gave him a lot of quick read stuff, a lot of screens, some downfield type screens, some shot plays where if it wasn't there, just throw it away, or maybe you can dump it down. Not a lot of straight dropbacks, which was excellent to see. I mean, Florida State, they only threw the ball 19 times. I think Blackman had 2 scrambles, so maybe, 20 called passes and, I guess 3 sacks. So maybe 23 called passes compared to, 35 called runs, so about a 60-40 run-pass ratio. Gotta love that. I think that's what this team needs to be doing. That's encouraging right there. They didn't allow Blackman to make too many mistakes in this ballgame. And Florida State only had 1 turnover, and that was the muffed punt there by DJ Matthews. So I liked what Jimbo Fisher did with his freshman quarterback. Cam Akers, like we said, will probably hit a home run or two in this game. He indeed did. That was the difference in the game. But he also ran hard, and he had a couple pass protection issues early on in the game, and he came back, and he had some big time blitz pickups after that. So I was very encouraged to see that. He's a stud, and he's just coming into his own. He's going to get better and better, and you got to love seeing that. On the first run, I think he did a fantastic job to see Syracuse over pursue and hit him back. On the second one, I thought he had good patience and trust in his blocking. It wasn't necessarily pretty blocking, but if you look at it, everybody was walled off, right? There was some penetration there, but not on the side that would help you as a defensive player make the tackle. And against an aggressive team like Syracuse, at some, you know, sometimes you do need to go ahead and just let the guy get upfield and run him past the play, which is what they did on that play. And Akers took it to the house, showcasing some great balance and some great speed. You know, Murray, great to hit the big play there. He also had a couple nice blocks. I mean, a couple that were not so nice. But that was at least encouraging to see a decent effort from him. You know, I know he had a bad drop, but he also had a tough catch. We saw Jimbo Fisher screaming at some wideouts today with Keith Gavin and DJ Matthews and all that. I like the blocking by Ryan Izzo. Maven Saunders, maybe not so much. Ermin Lane, you know, did some decent things at receiver. I thought the O-line run blocked pretty well for the most part, and then I thought the pass protection was pretty poor, to be honest. So that kind of a mixed bag there, and not encouraging. Just not playing with a whole lot of confidence right now, and not, they don't look like a super well coached unit at this point. Nor does much of this team, but that's not really news, and you don't need me to rail about that every single week. Third downs for Florida State were pretty much a disaster. 1 of 13. That was tough. Certainly to watch them fail on third down so many times, and most of them, to be honest, were decently short. You know, I mean, they had 3rd and 2, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 8. Then they had 3rd and 2, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 3, 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2, 3rd and 15, 3rd and 4, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 10, and then you had the fumbled exchange there. So you know, a mixed bag certainly, but a lot of throws on some of these thirds and shorters, which were kind of weird. I think 2 of the sacks were on Blackman. I think one of them was not. He also had a decent little scramble on one of them. You know, I like that Jimbo Fisher went some up tempo in this game on some third down stuff. I was very encouraged by that. I question running a wheel route to your backup fullback, Gabe Neighbors. I mean, it. If you don't trust the guy enough to start him, if he's in there, assuming because Vickers got hurt or something, I don't know. That I don't know that you call that play if the big payoff option there is to your backup fullback. Is that really the guy you want running deep for a ball? I don't know. I also like that they've adopted that Wake Forest screen. Now, it didn't work because Blackman did not account for a blitzer there and got himself sacked, but that's a good thing to see a play Wake Forest runs to see, hey, the ACC says it's legal. It's legal. It's pretty creative. Let's take and put that in our playbook, and they've done that. If you guys recall, that's that little screen where the receiver actually goes out past line of scrimmage, but it then kind of cuts underneath the line of scrimmage as the tight end throws kind of a takeout block, and that's pretty neat. So I like that a lot. Syracuse also had some good defensive play calling in this game, I thought. I mean, they had some well-timed, well-called edge pressures that blew some stuff up in the backfield that really, from a play calling perspective, sometimes you throw paper and the other side throws scissors. And it's just, you got to just take it and play the next play. And I like that he took some decisions out of the hands of Blackman. So for the most part, the offense did, I think, what it needed to do. Logan Tyler had a decent day punting the football, so that was pretty good to see. Not a whole lot of penalties on offense either, so that was good. I thought the defensive line played the run extremely well against Syracuse. The pass, not enough pass pressure from the D-line, I didn't think. But that works in concert as well with maybe the secondary not playing tight up enough on their men and not challenging receivers enough. You know, the Syracuse ran 95 plays. This defense in the second half was just absolutely gassed. You look at this. If you go, let's see if I can find this here. You know, if you go with the cumulatives by quarter, Syracuse in the fourth quarter, 4.6 yards a play. Not that much, but 150 yards of total offense and 33 plays. I mean, Florida State just could not get off the field. And when people joke about and they say, hey, third and Kelly, they're not joking. There's a real issue there. I'm going to read to you Syracuse's third downs that they faced in this game. And they had, holy cow, 25 attempts on third down. They were 11 of 25. But I think the real key here is the length of these third downs. This is a fundamental coaching issue that Florida State, I think if you are on the side that Charles Kelly needs to be fired, and I am, this is one of the things you point to, the third and Kelly idea. Third and five, got it. Third and eight, didn't get it, so one of two. Third and eight, got it. Two of three. Third and eight, got it. Three of four. I'm just reading here the ones that are more than third and five. Third and 11, didn't get it. Three of five. Third and 10, got it. Four of six. Third and six, did not get it. Four of seven. Third and seven, got it. Third and seven, missed it. So that's, let me see here, five of eight, I think. Yeah, third and nine, they got it. That'd be their sixth one that they converted there. Third and six, they got it. That's their seventh. They missed two third and 12s. Third and nine, got it. Third and 10, got it. And third of 14, got it. In fact, I think if you look at this, what's amazing is that Syracuse was actually much better on third and long than they were on third and short. They missed third and one. They missed third and three. They missed third and three again. They missed third and four. They missed third and two. They missed third and three. They missed third and two. They missed third and three. That's incredible. You work your butt off on defense to get a team into third and long. And Fisher actually referenced this in the postgame. And just ridiculous. That to me indicates a real coaching thing. Because it wasn't like guys were getting physically beat too often in this ballgame. It was just guys out of position, not playing together as a team defense, allowing seams, not closing space in zone. Just the same stuff that we've been seeing now. Problematic stuff for several years, and that's a problem. I thought the linebackers today were not real good, to be honest. It several times out of position badly, occasionally slow to fill against the run. When they did blitz, they didn't really get home very well. Didn't get you much in pass coverage. I thought the DBs were kind of a mixed bag. Physically, they didn't get crushed physically too often. Derwin James had a lot of good plays today. He was kind of all over the field. Had that interception, was very aware on a couple screens Syracuse threw and shut those down. But the alignment issues persist. And this is independent of the pace, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But how many slants were allowed to inside because guys are incorrectly playing with inside or with outside leverage and allowing the easy ball to the inside? Too many, right? Just too many easy completions today. Especially at times when Syracuse has had their backup quarterback or their starter, who was certainly injured, in the ballgame. And this is not a new thing. We've talked about alignment issues for much of the year, so that's not good. McFadden got beat by Ishmael. Ishmael's their best receiver. It's going to happen occasionally. I saw a lot of people calling for him to be benched, and I'm like, don't think so. Ishmael, if you watch that play, he's covered pretty well. He does a really good job actually to slow down and create some contact so that he can push off. And create some space because McFadden's got him covered. The pressure doesn't get there, and unfortunately, the guy's able to push off McFadden. That's just really good receiver play. There's not a whole lot a DB can do in that spot. So I'm actually not real disappointed about that with McFadden, to be honest. Certainly some other stuff, and we've seen some questionable effort with him in the past, but I don't really question his effort on that. You did see a lot of the young guys today being taken advantage of. You had Fagan and Samuels out there with some issues, particularly tackling in open space and taking poor angles at times or not really knowing what they were doing. I thought Levante Taylor had a lot of good plays. I thought Florida State's starting corners were pretty decent today. Some of the interior guys, the secondary support players, were not too good. Trey Marshall was picked on repeatedly. He just doesn't really have great coverage ability, unfortunately. So let's talk a little bit about coaching as well. I feel like that's always important here. They only had 10 men on the field for one play. Had to waste time out for that. I don't know what in the world Hamza Nasruddin is doing with batting the ball back into play on fourth down. I guess he thought that he saw a situation where maybe he could bat it back into play and the guy could run it 101 yards for a score, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and it's not a smart play. Blitz is not getting home for FSU, so how much of that is on players and how much of that, to be honest, is on coaching and scheming? I think if it happens repeatedly, there's a decent amount that's on scheming. We already talked about the third and Kelly and giving up, I think, 10 third and longs, I believe we counted, maybe more. Not getting lined up against tempo. know, they definitely had some issues there where they're outflanked, and that was essentially because the tempo gave them some problems. And I didn't really feel like Syracuse was even using their most turbo of tempos, right? They were just using some of their sort of medium-high tempos, and yet they still had 99 plays. And part of that is because Florida State had two drives that were only one play and fumbled a punt. So, you know, that's an issue right there. 16 drives by Syracuse. The defense is going to get tired. Inability to play good zone defense is yet another reason why I think you need to make a coaching change there. I will say that I thought the defense did a really good job at the end of the second quarter when Syracuse twice got the ball, and I'm going to pull this up here just so I can make sure. So the starting position for Syracuse in the last two drives of the second quarter, they started at their own 45 and at Florida State's 11, and they came away with no points. That's big. That's a very key area in which FSU's defense actually did stand up and win this game. But overall in the day, you could tell they were getting tired. Here's Syracuse's last 6 drives on the day. 46 yards, field goal. 7 yards, 38 yards, 19 yards, 75 yards, and 57 yards. You could kind of tell that, you know, things were wearing down a little bit for FSU's defense. It was a tired unit. Syracuse was figuring some things out. So let's end this thing talking a little bit here about game management, right? I said on Twitter, hey, Jimbo Fisher is punting here on 4th-and-1 from the Syracuse 44 with, I think he was going to give Syracuse about 1.5 minutes left and 2 timeouts. I said, by doing this, if FSU loses, he shifts the blame from his offense to Syracuse's or to Florida State's defense. And that's absolutely true. Now, I didn't say that's the reason he did it, but that is one of the effects that it has. And then immediately after on Twitter, when Florida State's defense gives up a big drive, and to be honest, they give up the game-tying drive, and the Syracuse kicker just misses it. But I got to tell you, that is the practical effect. Fisher also had a bad punt on 4th-and-4 from the Syracuse 44. Just not good game management there. He did do a great job, though, on 4th-and-3. He went for it from the Syracuse 33. And these are decisions that are either good or bad, regardless of result, right? Because you have to first guess these. But I got to tell you, Dino Babers actually was worse. And this is a guy who has a really good reputation on this and actually said in the halftime broadcast, you're not going to win this game by kicking field goals. But I'm thinking, well, Dino, you're the one that's giving away the game. I mean, his fourth down decisions are some of the biggest reason why Florida State lost this game. Look at this. Bad decision. First quarter, when you should be extremely aggressive with this type of stuff. 4th-and-3 from the Florida State 43. They punt it. 4th-and-2 from the Florida State 29. They kick a field goal. Now, he did go 4th-and-3 from the 45. That makes a lot of sense. Then 4th-and-3 from the FSU 4. This is kind of crazy. They decided to go for it. This is at the end of the first half. And the reason why you don't do this is because going for it down so deep in opponent territory, there's the value of getting it. But there's also the value of how deep the opponent is if you pin that deep, right? If you're stopped. When you add those two things together, that makes a whole lot of sense to go for it and be very aggressive down deep when there's a lot of time left in the game, because you're going to get the value of if you're trying to score again, you're going to get the value of the field position, because more than likely that's a very valuable field position. If at the end of the half, though, if you don't get it, the opposing team can just take 3 knees like Florida State did, because they don't have any Syracuse didn't have any extra timeouts. In that case, the right call is to kick the field goal. So that was a bad one by Dino. So 1 good, 3 bad by him. Then another bad by him. 3rd-and-4 from the 4th-and-4 from the FSU 24. He screws it up and decides to try the field goal. Just not what you really want to see if you're a Syracuse fan from a guy who purportedly is so aggressive and does a good job with that kind of stuff. So anyway, Yeah, 4th and 4 from the FSU 24. He kicked a field goal. And then finally, he had a good one, which was pretty obvious, I think. 4th and 1 from the FSU, or from the Syracuse 49. That makes a lot of sense. 4th and 1 is a go. So look, Jimbo messed up 2 and got 1 right. Dino Babers actually had 6 chances and only made the right call twice. And I'm throwing out the ones that I think are questionable here. I think these are the ones that are very clear or should be very, very clear. But yeah, that's kind of that. Dino Babers costing Syracuse some points and some chances to win this game, and Florida State will certainly take it. I was happy to see DJ Matthews stay in there as a punt returner. I thought that was great. He's going to make some mistakes, but at least he looks like he wants to be out there. He looks like he actually cares to field punts. That's not something we always saw from Tavares McFadden. Jimbo Fisher did say that he believes the game will be rescheduled against Louisiana Monroe. I totally agree. I think that some local businesses want that. And now, I got to tell you, here's what I think. I think that if they had lost this game, it would not have been rescheduled, because I don't think they're going to reschedule that game just to attempt to go 5-7. But now, they're going to have an actual shot, because they have 3 wins. They'll beat Delaware State. That's 4. You got to reschedule it early enough to maybe give yourself a shot. If you beat Florida, and Florida today looked absolutely like dog crap, you're going to have a shot to go 6-6 and still make a bowl game. So that's encouraging there. Give the kids another chance to play a game. I think they've earned it, even if the staff has not. And that's kind of my take on the game. 5 stars on iTunes if you enjoy the show, which I know we just recently passed 800 5-star reviews, and that's awesome. Support our sponsors, Mattis Social, Centrale Township, as well as Louisiana Hot Sauce. Spice it up a little bit, and we'll join you again on the normal Tuesday morning show. We record Monday night, so take care, y'all.